And now it's time for The Grelly with your host, Jerry Negrelli.
Give people a second to get their tape recorders ready.
Jerry Negrelli and Alan Dan. Jerry Negrelli is brilliant. I ought to have him, you know, at Michael's wedding.
This is The Grelly, and I am your host, Jerry Negrelli. Welcome to the show. So first things first, I wanted to make an announcement. We have an official title for Jingle Fest 5 that we'll be hosting next summer in 2019. It is called Jingle Side, A Song Before Dying. And huge props to Luke Overby for being part of the brainstorming trust that came up with that genius name. If you've ever backed any of the Jingle Fest or the podcast or anything online, you should be receiving some exciting literature in the mail describing a little bit about our event. If you don't get that, I'll be posting it on Patreon soon, but pretty much everybody on my mailing list, physical mail now, should be getting something in the mail very shortly describing what's in store. Also, The Grelly, this is now the third episode. I've been very excited to see it starting to pop up in the wild. I saw a tweet from Louis Noce. He said, "I just said in natural conversation, oh wait, let me put on The Grelly," and was met with much shock and awe from others online at how ridiculous it is that something with such a stupid title is generating such excitement in someone. I also, because I put this out there, I'm now receiving targeted advertisements for an apartment complex in Palo Alto, California called The Grelly. Obviously, the fact that I've typed this into Twitter searching to see, hey, who's buzzing about The Grelly, Google AdWords are clearly picking up on my activity and are thinking, hey, this guy wants to move to Palo Alto. So if you happen to see any of those ads out there in the wild or come across any other references to The Grelly or make one yourself, it could be featured here on next week's episode. So I know that I ask for your mail, mailbag@littlesongs.net. Folks are generally pretty shy and don't want to write a long message, but if you tweet at me or do something like that that's noteworthy, I will certainly be happy to mention it here in the show.
You're listening to The Grelly.
Running a four-loss business is very difficult. Littlesongs.net takes a lot of effort. Doing all this stuff takes a lot of time. So I can only imagine that running a for-profit business such as Chatter is even harder, or a for-profit business like this show Stinks, that whole enterprise. Gotta be tough. Nonetheless, there are certain things about the way that Tony does his whole thing and the way that that operates that just give me so much joy in their ridiculousness. Now, I understand that some of this stuff is dramatized and done for shtick, but there's also some things that are just hilarious to me. For instance, so I'm going to play three jingles here, Pizza Dancer, Why Aren't You Open, and Shattered, Burn It to the Ground. And I wanted to kind of walk through each of these because each of them, I had a bit of a, I've had these focus areas over the last years. I've done fewer jingles. I've tended to do batches on particular topics. And so this was really during the time when I was just crushing the poor business sense of everything that they were doing. And I'm really proud of these songs and some of the rhymes and lyrics in here. I think this is some of the best stuff that I've done in the however many jingles I've put together. But there are just a few things I wanted to call out. So in Pizza Dancer, this was inspired by Scott Anthony did a track called Pizza Dancer, and it wasn't the Elton John song. I just assumed it was. So when I saw it wasn't, I said, oh, I have to do something to that. But the lyrics here, I really am amused that Tony was talking about trying to get more butts and seats in the restaurant, and yet one of the first things he did was remove some tables to make room for the podcast studio. And people were bitching about that on Yelp big time. So the idea that he's bringing all these people for dinner and they have nowhere to sit, they just have to stand. I thought that imagery was amazing. Next, this one ties right into the following song, Why Aren't You Open? The fact that the breakfast schedule is completely confidential, at least for a long time, that they would be open randomly and then close randomly, just on a whim of whenever they felt like taping. That was just so brilliant. And then lastly, when I went there, the very first time I went there, they did have a sausage sandwich, the kind of thing you could get at McDonald's for $14. Now, it has since been removed from the menu. I assume it did not sell well because that price makes no sense for a sausage sandwich. But that was legitimately on the menu, so that this song tries to kind of poke fun at that as well. And then dovetails into the idea that if only we could get some idiot spinning in the street with a pizza dancing sign, you could actually drum up some business. Although that poor gentleman would probably like die of skin cancer or get hit by a car from you know, dancing through lanes of traffic. So then the second song, Why Aren't You Open? This song came to me, I think, listening to Sirius XM in the car, and that cheesy Creed song came on. But the idea that people were coming to chatter from great distances with the hopes, and this still happens today. I mean, you see it on the Facebook group all the time, but with the hopes of meeting Tony or seeing a taping when there's really a very loose schedule to follow. And so the idea that folks were showing up at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., hoping to get in there, and then they weren't even open, and people that had traveled hundreds of miles had to just turn around with their families and try to figure out something else to do, or maybe go see if the Palm was serving breakfast. I just love the story of that and the imagery of that. And then lastly, Shattered, this is a parody of OAR. And this really was just about Tony's decision to dive into the restaurant business and how it seemed like such a good idea at the time, but now it has basically become a joke. And then the only way out of this thing, now that he's complaining about it literally every second, at least for that first year, complaining about the restaurant like every day. Now, instead of complaining about the restaurant, he just tells you about, you know, what the drink special is tomorrow or whatever. But in the beginning, the first year, it's just, this is horrible. And it's like this great, you know, Shakespearean tragedy. And the only way out was going to be just burning it to the ground. So this one I love as well. I think the original tune, the OAR tune, is a super underrated pop song. I think it's a great song to parody. And so anyway, I hope you enjoyed these three songs all about the for-profit business and the podcast and the intersection with the restaurant and all the other silly stuff that comes out of that from my perspective.
We bought Shatter. What a disaster. Sinking deeper in quicksand. Remove some tables back in April. We thought the dinner crowd might prefer to stand. Our breakfast schedule is confidential. That's all part of our business plan. We'll solve this crisis by raising prices. Try the sausage sandwich, it's only 14 grand.
All right, who's next in line for a photo?
You?
All right, did you buy a sandwich?
Yes,
you did? Okay, fine, let's do this.
And right now I feel so dumb, bleeding out a hefty sum. There's only one man who can save me. Spinning, dancing like crazy. Pizza dancer, get the tourists looking our way. Somersault through lanes of traffic. Earn $5 of hazard pay. Spin your arrow, pizza dancer. The hot sun, 12 hours a day. Throwing coupons for the fish platter. Helping all the little save.
It's 8 a.m. on the district line, a little crowd forms near the chatter sign to amplify this sad vignette. It's pouring rain and we are all soaking wet. Why aren't you open? I came from Boise. It was a long ride here, gonna be a longer ride back. Why aren't you open? Oh, why aren't you open?
There was a time I took advice from financial aides. I'd protect and invest all the dough I made. But now I'm into something new. A talk show host, retired coach, and a socialite came to me with a deal they said would change my life. And it turns out that was true. Thought I bought such a gold mine. Now I'm caught in a punchline. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now every day I complain about chatter. I get up and wreck all the bad lonely. Burn it to the ground. My savings account is hurting like hammers. Look at me now, I'm like law, nothing matters. Call all states, I'm gonna burn it to the ground.
Okay, we need to do a quick update on fundraising. So last episode I let you know that I opened a fundraiser on Thranasia. That was a bit of a bust. It seems like people couldn't figure it out. It was confusing the hell out of littles. I was getting complaints. I mean, to me, it was kind of the same layout, but I totally understand. People have accounts at Kickstarter. They've used Kickstarter. They're comfortable with Kickstarter. So Jinglefest 5, Jingleside, is back on Kickstarter. You can search for it at Kickstarter. You can look at my Twitter account at Jerry Negrelli and just look at whatever my pinned post is. I'm sure it's a link to that. And you can find out more information about it and how to support us. The Patreon, which is the monthly version of that, where you can just give me a little bit of money every month for this podcast and putting on all these events, is also still running. So if you want to do the one big bang thing, do the Kickstarter. If you want to contribute a little bit every month, do Patreon. Or you can just go, you know, buy a shirt or something at the Little Song store. You can find information on all of this at littlesongs.net/support. And if you support by July 31st at certain tiers on this whole scheme, there may be a special surprise coming your way in the mail. So don't wait. Please get it in there now. It would be fantastic if we could just get this thing done so I can stop bothering you about raising funds for the Jinglefest.
Tony went to Arizona for the game. He missed his bagel city breakfast every day. The missing food would ruin his mood. The oatmeal squares were poor.
Yeah. Lunch was also troublesome for him to get, but ESPN brought an answer to the set. A sandwich that he hadn't had since 1994.
A local color, gold and green, endorsed on air by RG3.
Tony thought he'd eat a Subway sandwich.
Yes, he loved to eat a Subway sandwich, packed with vegetables to crunch. A sub would make an awesome lunch.
Looking forward to a Subway sandwich. Yes, he'd love to eat a Subway sandwich. It had bread and turkey and pickles and peppers, no cheese. They brought a trailer for the crew to get the grub, and Tony salivated at what was to come. But soon he'd find, losing his mind, all the sandwiches were gone.
There was a Subway in the mall at Fashion Square, but Tony didn't want to set a foot in there. A food court trip could make him flip. The whole thing just seemed wrong.
Kalila offered to go and fetch, but Tony said he'd rather kvetch.
So he didn't get a Subway sandwich.
No, he didn't get a Subway sandwich. Two bags of sunchips were all he had. It left him feeling really mad.
For he didn't get a Subway sandwich. No, he didn't get a Subway sandwich.
It would have had cucumbers and the peppers and some lettuce and tomatoes, onions and some spinach and a little mashed potato.
I'm just banana, hungry, I don't care if and I lettuce, lose a lot of weight and like Jared.
What the heck's that salami and sriracha and some lettuce, no,
tomato
you
and
beer
and a little Baja sauce.
Oh, and you can hold the honey
mustard.
Yes, yes, you can hold the honey mustard. Hey, where'd everybody go?
When it's time to have lunch or dinner and I have to go out somewhere, one of the things that really bothers me is customizations. And Michelle loves to ask for stuff on the side or to substitute something for something else. It just drives me crazy. I don't want anything to do with that. And this extends in particular to fast casual dining. So my least favorite places to go to are something like a Subway or a Chipotle. Now, I think the food is fine, but I do not want to be in charge of designing the sandwich. That is not why I am paying someone. If I wanted to design a sandwich, I would make a freaking sandwich at home. When I go to a Subway, I would like to order whatever is on the Subway menu. So I see a picture of a delicious Italian sub. I would like that. I don't know if it has Italian bread or onions or olives. I assume you know. You are the sandwich artisan sitting behind the counter who is in charge of designing beautiful sandwiches. Please give me what's in the picture. Now, as you may imagine, when I give that line of reasoning to the sandwich artist at Subway, they don't always resonate with that messaging. They tend to be confused why I wouldn't want to add extra mustard or substitute some olives or something like that. But to me, it's just honestly not something I want to be bothered with. The convenience of having a menu and being able to pick off the menu is why I'm going to a restaurant in the first place. So, you know, I understand that there's probably like two of you who agree with me. Like everybody I brought this up with thinks that I'm being totally ridiculous. But honestly, I just want what's in the picture. It's the convenience of it. That's why I'm at a place to spend money is for that. I don't need to go and design a pizza on a conveyor belt or put together a sandwich and have somebody do it in front of me. It just seems weird. I'd much rather just have something prepared and pick it up and purchase it and run off and be done with it. Doesn't seem like too much to ask to me.
I'm not sure why, but you're listening to The Grelly.
Let's play some new songs from littlesongs.net. And as always, I encourage you to go to the website, littlesongs.net, click on one of these songs, leave a comment, just says, nice job, love this one, whatever. Or if you hated it, please don't do that. But if you like them, please go to the website. And so there's three songs I'm going to play you now. It's the summer. There's not a ton of new material coming out, but these are pretty good and pretty recent. And I'm jealous that I did not write them. The first one is Free Ribs from Memphis by KJ about the free ribs that Tony got in the studio from the intern. And I've wanted to parody Walkin' in Memphis forever. I've had ideas for Walkin' in Rockville and putting on my boat shoes and just the whole idea of it and what could it be, but what would make that funny? It just never clicked. Free Ribs from Memphis crushed it. And then John Fitzpatrick with his I Get a Kick Out of You about the hockey stick. The lyrics in this one, and Tony mentioned it when this aired on the podcast, are just so sharp, so funny. John has been so consistently good in this podcast era with turning out these short songs that just really poke at Tony and whatever the topic of the day is, and yet there's still some timelessness to it, so that you might want to hear this again at Jingle Fest in a year from now. Just so good. And then the last one, I did do, but I swear I didn't, because I'm so sure this has been done before, but I can find no record of it. So if you're a fan of TK Jingles and Little Songs and you've heard it somewhere, maybe it was on the rubbish bin or something, please let me know, because I feel like I ripped this off. But it's a parody of Under the Boardwalk about Tony's fear of the Bay Bridge. So here we have KJ Onstad, John Fitzpatrick, and myself with three new songs from littlesongs.net.
Put on my boat deck shoes and I went on my way. Unlocked the door of my podcast room. It's time to start my day. Let me see Cliffy. You better head down the interstate. And you best not come back stickless. If you do, you can guess your weight. Did you say you were from Memphis? Well, Marcus, where's my meat from the rendezvous? Need ribs from Memphis. Now go out and get me barbecue. Free ribs from Memphis.
Free ribs from Memphis.
Don't care if it's from Corky's or from rendezvous.
Free ribs from Memphis.
Free ribs from Memphis. Till then, I don't want to hear from you. Shopping for new deck shoes and enjoying my day. This text says, let's give out free food. No, at Cheddar, everyone pays.
This is the hockey stick that changed the course of the Stanley Cup.
I've got the stick from that game. To sell alcohol, I'll mount this thing on the wall. I don't care if this story's true, 'cause I'll use this shtick to sell you. I'm out for capital gain. I'll work this grift, use this hockey stick gift, and I feel no guilt as I do, 'cause I'll get $12 out of you.
It may not be the actual stick, but I'm going with that for a while.
Oh, when the summer comes and the old folks need a break, they want to go to the beach, but there's only one road that they can take. Over the Bay Bridge to Delaware. Yeah, they're all driving with one eye open up in the air.
Over the Bay Bridge,
the old man's holding his breath.
Over the Bay Bridge,
awaiting imminent death.
Over the Bay Bridge,
look out below.
Over the Bay Bridge,
do Cadillacs float over the Bay Bridge? Bay Bridge.
So my jingle writing process varies. Sometimes there's a song that I really want to do, or there's an idea or a word from Tony, or I just have an epiphany, like I must do such and such. But one of the ways that I've been able to churn out so much material is by having a backlog of pop songs that I have a particular affection for or disdain for, and having those in a catalog that I just review every few weeks. Say, hey, is there any opportunity to use this song maybe? You know, maybe this is a song that could be used now. People like it, or it's catchy, or they'll recognize it. Is there anything going on at Tony's show today that would be a good fit for this? And so there is a song by Neil Diamond that I've wanted to parody since the day I started TK Jingles. It has been on my to-do list since even before I had the original TK Jingles podcast. This was something just was on there, one of my favorite songs. If there was ever an opportunity to parody this song, I wanted to do it. This is the part of the podcast where if you're squeamish or have good taste and don't like crude humor, you should probably just turn it off now because it's about to devolve significantly. I mean, this next segment should really be in the burf bag, but I couldn't help myself but to include it in this show. And so lo and behold, last week, I was able to share with you some of the amazing Yelp reviews from Chatter. And if you missed that episode, they are vile and cruel and epic and just, it's amazing. I mean, people are mean online. And I think we all know that, but Chatter has a pretty bad reputation on Yelp. Anyway, there was one review in particular that just has stuck with me for the last week or so since I recorded that podcast. Muriel P. put together a review that described the sewage water and how there was period blood smeared on the walls of the bathroom. I mean, it was just the most disgusting, vile review. So with that, I present to you now a song that has been 4 years in the making, finally realized thanks to Muriel's period blood.
Took my kids to Wisconsin and Jennifer, 'cause we'd heard that Kornheiser's is a restaurateur. And I'll keep this short, my family wasn't impressed, 'cause the place was a mess. But wait, there's more. You see, the waitress was good at ignoring us. Waiting tables was far too laborious. We were throwing up as we were each throwing down. Sewer water so brown, I'm just warming up. The ladies' restroom was coated with something wet. It wasn't Windex or bleach, it was something red. Tell Mr. Tony and Maury I've seen enough. I wanted brunch, but instead it's the period blood.
Period blood.
Earning 2 stars on Yelp with a period blood.
Period blood.
I can see it.
Can't unsee it.
I can feel it.
Can't not feel it.
I can see it.
Do, do, do,
out.
I can feel it and I can see it. So I did warn you that that was going to be horrifying and disgusting. So if you're still here and you were offended by that, I'm totally sorry. Sometimes a joke presents itself and you are simply a vessel for it to be delivered to the world. So while I may love that and find it brilliant, I totally understand that probably 98% of people think that that's terrible and disgusting. Anyway, I've been having fun back here podcasting on the Grelly. I hope you're enjoying this. And I love your feedback on Twitter. Send me a note at Jerry Negrelli or send me an email, mailbag@littlesongs.net. And again, if you've ever attended a Jingle Fest or just like to support the stuff that we do, please check out the Kickstarter. Get your name on the back of the shirt. Help us make this happen. The venues, I'm looking at two different venues right now. It's going to probably be about $4,000 to $5,000 of just deposit costs that I need to secure the place and hire the engineers and the crew and all that stuff. Plus all the travel costs. So unfortunately, it takes a lot of money to do this. If we don't get there for some reason, if you guys feel like maybe we shouldn't do it this year, then we can, not do it. But it seems that there's a critical mass at this point. It's kind of inevitable. So appreciate your support. I'll be back here next week. Please send me your feedback, thoughts, notes. If you like Subway sandwiches, let me know that I'm an idiot. And I'll be back here next week. Bye-bye.